the Abundant Life Church out in Sterling, which is my husband's church. You might have noticed that you don't see him here on Sunday morning. And all four of us actually go out there on Sunday evenings, and so we're pretty tied into that church as well as this one. And we got the opportunity to go to Cambodia with them. They make mission trips every year. And so this is the team that went. You may recognize some of these people, I mean, beyond the four of us. So there's Melissa Nill. She's a music teacher out in Sterling. Jay and some clown named Flower there. There's me, and down sitting there is Glenn and Kelly Slagle in the other clown outfit. Kathy Overpeck in the white shirt. She's one of the pastors out there. Mike and Vicki Hollingsworth, and then Bob Reisner there in the corner. He's the senior pastor at the church, and his wife, Polly, was taking the picture there. So that's us in our hotel at, that's not going to work, is it? Let me move over here. This is a view from our hotel room, three bars thick. We felt very safe. Actually, we were centered in Phnom Penh. Let me first say where Cambodia is. It's in Southeast Asia. On one side is Thailand. On the other side of it is Vietnam. And above it is Laos. And it, the bottom of it is the Gulf of Thailand. So it was very hot there. It was 90 degrees with 97% humidity, and this is their winter time. So when we were trying to talk to them about Alaska and how cold it was, they could not even wrap their mind around it. So anyway, but that's a view from our hotel room in Phnom Penh. And it was actually a fairly safe city. We didn't go out after dark by ourselves or anything. This is what the countryside looks like. It's mostly rice paddies with some jungle and some forest. This is a street side scene in Phnom Penh. And this is kind of how they live there. There's poverty is a huge problem there. There's a great deal of poverty. Lots of malnutrition. A lot of families don't make more than $100 a year. So when we give money and when we bring money and stuff there to help out, it goes a long ways. A little bit of our money goes a long ways to help those people. There are 32,000 homeless people in Cambodia. And here are some of them. And the Abundant Life Church helps to fund street ministry, which these people are part of. These are street people, homeless people. Some more homeless people we interacted with. There's some street people, kind of odd ones that probably need to be hauled away with the Cambodian flag there behind them. One of our first stops there, we got in fairly late at night, and then the next morning our first missions stop was to go to a Vietnamese school outside of Phnom Penh, and they said it was in a village. And, you know, when we think of village, we kind of think of remote. And what it actually was is sort of a slum on the edges of the city, and where it was a kind of a Vietnamese enclave. And so we went and talked to these little kids. The little kid there in the front has polio. They have a lot of diseases there that with vaccines could be eliminated, which seems like a fairly inexpensive solution, but it hasn't. There's a lot of Cambodia is one of the most corrupt nations in the world, and so getting things from point A to point B is not always as easy as it should be. Here we are at the Vietnamese school doing skits and objects lessons with them, and they were just a neat bunch of kids. The lady on your far right is Larissa Dobson, and she's a wonderful missionary that lives there, that was a great help to us. And here, when we were leaving, this guy came by in the alleyway with this cart full of wilted cabbage, and we couldn't figure out what it was for, if they were going to make kimchi or whatever. And it turned out that this is where they live. This is their houses there in the Vietnamese village, and they throw the cabbage into the water there, and it feeds the fish, and they fish for, that's how they make their income, is the fish, and that's the Mekong River. The Mekong River starts up in China and goes down through Vietnam and through Cambodia and out the Gulf of Thailand, and they grow their food there. You know, they grow vegetables in the river that they eat, and the fish and stuff, and it's not, and they drink out of it, and you know, people start pooping in the Mekong up in China, and you know, by the time it hits the Gulf of Thailand, there's a lot in there, which may explain why some of us got sort of sick. Then that night we went to a traditional Cambodian wedding. We were told by the missionary to bring something nice to wear. And so here we are in our little frou-frous, my Salvation Army prom dress there. anyway, so we got all fixed up to go to this traditional wedding. And what we were told is that our presence, the presence of Americans at this wedding, would increase the status of this couple in their community for years to come. Which seemed like an odd concept to us. I mean, it's kind of nice to go to a foreign country where being American is a good thing. On the way there, we stopped in this another part of a slum village where, and these are all kind of homeless kids there, and they're just such beautiful people, and they just enjoyed our company, and we were actually walking down this long path to see this dentist office. The Abundant Life Church funded this dentist by buying him everything in the dentist's office so he could get his practice started. And these are the people that run the homeless ministry that I had a picture of a little bit earlier. They give an incredible amount to their community. And they've taken in this little girl in front of them was just a homeless kid that they took in. And very gracious people. Anyway, so it was their relative that was at the wedding, getting married. And we wanted to take our picture in front of the Buddha, and all the little kids wanted to be in the picture too there. So we got to the wedding, and there was several, maybe 1,000 people. There was a huge wedding, and the food just kept coming, and it was just quite the affair. We had to teach Jay how to use chopsticks. It was fun. Anyway, but they asked us to come on stage to sing a song to the wedding couple. And so Kelly here in the middle and Jay and I tried to think really quick, what can we do? We've never all sung together before. So we thought up a love song we could play. It was sort of a rock and roll version of When You Say Nothing at All. And they were quite delighted. And the table of drunks over in the corner were so delighted that a fight broke out. And there was a big knife fight and blood everywhere. And I think a guy ended up losing his finger. But
stopped the wedding for quite a while.
Yeah, it kind of shut the wedding down for a while. But it was like, wow, welcome to Cambodia. and that was our. So here's one of the Buddhist. Cambodia is a Buddhist nation for the most part. That's their official religion. And in the 70s, they were very war-torn. The U.S. bombed them, the Vietnamese bombed them. It was just quite a mess. And there was a rather wretched gentleman named Pol Pot took over, and the Khmer Rouge. There was a genocide in that country, and when they lost between a fourth and one-third of their population. Anyone who was educated, anyone who was religious, anyone who even wore glasses, which meant that they could probably read. Any Christians were all killed. There was maybe 1,000 Christians left at the very most after the genocide, and very few elders. There are very few old people in Cambodia now because they've mostly been killed. Somewhere between 1 and 3 million people were killed during that genocide. anyway, so most of the Buddhist temples are new, and this is one of them. They're beautiful structures. All the little pointy things are so that the demons won't want to land there. Because they'll get poked in the butt, I guess. This is inside one of the Buddhist temples, a Wat. This is Phnom Wat. And a few of us sat in there for a long time and just prayed for everybody, just prayed over the place and prayed for everyone that came in there to offer their prayers. You know, they're a sincere people who are searching. God loves them too, and we just prayed over them, prayed blessing over them. So that was kind of a neat thing to do. Here's one of the temple monkeys. The monkeys are sort of like squirrels there, and you don't want to pet them. Some of them are rabid, and some of them are demonized, but you don't really want to hang out with them. But they don't bother you. They're kind of cool. This is Angkor Wat, and that banner up on the wall is a picture of Angkor Wat. And that's a 12th century temple, and that's also on their national flag. And this is up actually in the northwest part of Cambodia in the Siem Reap province. And it's a pretty interesting. It was a finalist in the Seven Wonders of the World last time they voted on them. Pretty amazing structure. This is another temple there. I think this is Bayonne. And if you saw the movie Lara Croft, Temple Raider, Tomb Raider, something like. Anyway, that's where it was filmed. So she's kind of famous over there. These are some musicians that were on the way to the temple there where we went to visit, and a lot of them were landmine victims. There's still a lot of landmines in Cambodia, and two people a day are killed in Cambodia still with the landmines that were put there in the 70s. And so landmines, they're working to eradicate them. But anyway, so these were some cool musicians, and some of them are blind. Some of them don't have legs and stuff, but they've all been injured by landmines. A couple more Cambodian musicians there. And a couple more that this young kid was selling these little bamboo, he called it chusats.
Chusat.
It's sort of like a Jew's harp, which is probably where that name came from. And so Glenn was trying to tried to trade a kazoo to him for it, but he wasn't going for that. But they did teach him how to play kazoo, and he was teaching them how to play the chusat. So they were having fun with him there. So I'm going to show you some. I didn't get to go to the orphanage, and Karen's going to talk about her trip to the orphanage. It was really quite a moving experience to her. I was over at the temple praying for people in the temple when she was there. We did a lot of. We took a lot of money over there to buy formula and food for them. Here they are at the. Some of them are at the orphanage, and I'll let Karen talk about that. And this is their new building, and the Abundant Life Church gives a lot of money to that orphanage, and it helped. This is a brand new building that they helped fund. I'll let Karen talk about her experiences there. A lot of kids there have tetanus, these kids on the floor probably have tetanus. It cripples them up, and you know a tetanus shot would prevent that from happening, but they don't get those. A lot of AIDS, a lot of malaria. And other things like that. One of the coolest things I got to do was go to the floating village on Tonle Sap up in the Siem Reap province. And we had it took a while to get its way out there. 2,000 Vietnamese families live there. So we're on this boat ride that took about an hour and a half to get there. I don't even know what to say about that picture. Glenn and his little babushka. He's just so charming. So they live, all the families live in these, on these floating, they just live right in the middle of the river on these floating houses. And that's what one of their houses looks like. And this is how they get around. And so we went to the floating school out there, which is a Mission of Mercy school that's funded through mission money. And spent time with the kids out there. And they're just such neat kids. And, you know, they all come in and they just sit down. You know, there's not all these ADHD kids just bouncing off the walls. They just sit down and pay attention. It's pretty cool. This is how the kids, you know, they're separate buildings, and, you know, they were leaving one building going to another for lunch, so they just all hop in their little boats, and these kids just row their boats across to the other. So that's their life. That's a cool picture of some kids Jay was playing music for. So the food was interesting. This is a village meal cooked for us with some fish and chicken and beef and the ever-present rice. Tarantulas. All four of us ate tarantulas. This was actually in a kind of a fancy restaurant. They were deep fried with the lime and chili sauce. There's documentation of all of us eating tarantulas. Especially a nice picture of Karen there in the corner.
Yeah.
And this is at the market, and so you could get, there's grubs and ducks and tarantulas, and what else is on there, Jay?
It was 110 degrees. This is the Russian market in Phnom Penh, and this is right in the middle of the whole, this is like a half city block tent that all these vendors are in. And this lady come walking through with this huge platter and sat down in front of a group of Cambodians to offer them lunch. And, yeah, you got guinea hens. It looks like, let's see, there's some shrimp on there that are actually, the shrimp there are really nice. But the two great big piles on the right and the little pile up there, the little pile there, those are all tarantulas. The yellow ones there, those are grubs. Was some, and it's 110 degrees inside this tent, folks. And I wanted to have some more. This was after we had had tarantulas before. I wanted to have some more, but not in that setting. So
yeah. So rice is their main food over there, and they grow rice. And it's all. And we were there at a great time because it was just right at rice harvest time, and the fields are just green, and it was really beautiful. Transportation. We didn't spend the whole time getting around on elephants, but we did get to ride elephants. That was pretty cool. There's a family on a family of five on a motor scooter. They pile them on. This is a typical street in Phnom Penh, and actually not a very crowded one. That's kind of, and their traffic. They don't have any. Nobody knows what the traffic lights are for. Or they just kind of. I don't know how it. When you cross the street, you can't stop and wait for somebody because they're anticipating that you'll keep on moving. If you stop, you'll get creamed. Here's another mode of transportation there. And it's kind of the modern cars behind it and the oxen right there. How we mostly got around was on tuk-tuks, which are these rickshaws that are pulled by motorcycles. There's Jay and Karen up there in a tuk-tuk. We went for miles in those things. In the tuk-tuk scene. That must have been a particularly scary tuk-tuk ride there.
Yes, that was up in Siem Reap, and it was the first day that we went to one of the Mission of Mercy schools, and they took us about 8 miles down this red dirt road, and there was like ditches on either side of it. The road was maybe 15 feet wide, and they had just come out of the rainy season. So basically it was extremely severe breakup road conditions. That's pretty much the way we looked the whole way in there.
I missed that ride. I had eaten something bad, which took me a month to get over. But it's probably good I missed that ride. One of the place where we did the most ministry was in the Takao province, which is south of Phnom Penh, and it's rural area. And we felt more at home there because it was the countryside, and so these were our kind of people, you know. And very beautiful rice growing country. And we did church conferences out there. And so, you know, our ministry there ended up being a little bit different than what we had expected. We knew that we needed to be flexible. We knew we'd hit the ground running, and the missionaries were just going to have us do whatever needed to be done at the time. And what our trip ended up being a lot was going to these small churches, these rural village churches, with these people who are very passionate about Christ but don't have a lot of foundation. You know, they're coming out of Buddhism and animism, and they don't have a lot of depth. And, so a lot of them, while they're practicing Christians, also seek out the shaman for healing or, still go to the Buddha. You know, they're just growing. They're young, but they're very young in their Christianity. These are some of the kids. And all the Cambodian people were very beautiful, beautiful people. Their heritage is out of India and China, and the combination is pretty beautiful. There's Karen. She's showing them postcards of Alaska, and as I said, they just could not quite wrap their mind around snow. And, you know, you could tell them, well, you know, like an ice cube is cold or something, but there was no point in trying to tell them that, you know, 30 below is not like 32 above, you know. They couldn't relate to it. There's Jay giving his testimony with his interpreter there. Jay playing music with the locals, which was great. It was great being a musician over there because there was quite a language barrier, but music made an instant connection, especially with the kids and these teenage kids were mostly worship leaders in the church, and they knew a lot of the same songs we did, and they knew them in Khmer, their language. And a lot of them were trying to learn language, so sometimes they knew the English lyrics to them. But we could just sit down with them with a guitar and instantly have this connection.
I'll be talking about those two kids in particular a little later.
This is at one of the church conferences, and the kids are they're into it. You know, they were very attentive. It was pretty neat. Jay and Karen drawing a crowd there. I don't know what they were doing, but it must have been good. This is a meal prepared for us by the village at one of the churches. And, you know, their cleanliness standards are not ours, but they were asked to, you know, they don't eat this well. You know, they don't eat all that chicken and fish and stuff. They mostly eat rice and vegetables. They don't have enough money. That was the picture I showed you before would be more maybe like a special Thanksgiving meal to them or something. So they were given money that actually came from us to buy these meals, to cook these meals for us. And they were very wonderful, and they took great care to prepare them for us in a clean way. This is an older woman who was harvesting rice in a rice paddy right next to one of the churches. She didn't look very happy when I took her picture, but really she smiled really big later. So I was giving a talk at one of the churches there.
Mm-hmm.
We played games with the church just as icebreakers, and this was an Alaskan form.
Man, Gun, Bear. Is
yeah, sort of an Alaskan version of rock, paper, scissors.
I had just been shot.
Yeah. They're such gracious people. They just got into it. Here's Flower the Clown and Rainbow, her assistant there. This is a dear old woman in one of the churches who helped fix their lunch. You see the coconuts behind there, and they gave us those to drink out of quite a lot, so we were drinking fresh green coconut because it's a clean source of liquid that did not come out of the river. There we are, just playing music with some of the local kids. These two kids were worship leaders in their churches and great songwriters. Oh, yeah, I was going to thank you.
Yeah.
You notice he's got a Playboy shirt on there. Well, you know, a lot of our clothes are manufactured in Cambodia, you know, North Face and Columbia and, I don't know, Hollister, you know, all the, you know, a lot of brands, they're made down there in their factories. And so there are a lot of people come to church wearing these clothes with the Playboy bunnies on them. And they have no idea what, and so it's like, you know, they don't even need to know. It's, you know, it's a meaningless thing to them. And so it's just a rabbit. So it's just kind of funny. And one church had this bag for their offering that said, I'm sure they didn't know what it said, but it said whoopee time on it, on the offering bag. So he went, yeah, that's cool. Offering time is whoopee time. Here we were dedicating this woman's baby here and blessing her. And that was pretty neat. And this woman had come forward. She accepted Christ as we were praying for her there, and she asked for deliverance from demons. Neat lady. And here we are in one of the churches. The gentleman in front, Ken Huff, is a missionary down there. He lives down there, and you can see how much he's sweating. It was really, really hot. And I just didn't know a person could sweat so much. We just don't sweat like that in Alaska. I probably shouldn't say this, but I'll say it anyway. The bathrooms are, especially in the villages, are Asian bathrooms, so the toilets are like flush with the ground, you know? So you have to kind of, so, and your clothes are like, also, so like getting your pants down is like taking off a wet swimsuit, and getting them back up is the same thing, and so I almost fell in the hole several times, so I was always in the bathroom laughing, and I'm sure nobody knew why. But it was hot, you know, and you'd put bug dope on because it's, you know, because there's malaria mosquitoes, and you got heat just dripping into your eyes because you're sweating, and the mosquitoes are just doing the backstroke in it. They don't care. This is at was our last night of ministry, and this was high school kids that live at a place called the Children's Center, and they're very poor kids whose families live way, way, way out in the country and can't afford to get to school, to an Assembly of God school that is there in Takao. And so they live at this place, and Glenn is going to talk. This was one of the most impressive places. So Glenn is going to talk about this place, I think, a little bit, because it was very moving. And this church service was really moving. They're not a real demonstrative people, and they're very young in the Lord. And these kids were absolutely moved. And the pastor, Bob Reisner, there, from Sterling, was very, very sick, exhausted, dehydrated, and could barely walk. And when he got up to speak, God spoke through him very, very powerfully. I mean, what a reminder that it's who, you know, that God can use whatever to to do his work, and doesn't depend on us and our strength or our savvy or whatever. God moves in some pretty powerful ways. So that was a very powerful church service, and neat kids there. Let me talk about genocide for a while. I mean, I already mentioned it, so I won't get into the details of it. But our last day in Cambodia, we went to the killing fields and to the Tuol Sleng Genocide Museum. And the Genocide Museum is a high school that was turned into a torture center. And all the implements of torture are still there. There's still blood on the floors. It's a pretty grim place, and it's a very sobering experience to be there. Pol Pot liked to take pictures of his victims before he killed them, and this is just one wall. This is just a small sample of the children that he killed during the genocide. So you had pictures of all of them. This is the Genocide Museum here, and this is where the tortures took place. Then we went over to the killing fields where they were mass graves where they killed people, you know, just whacked them with an axe handle and threw them in by the thousands. And there are still clothes and bones that are working their way up to the ground, which is what you see here. And so it's like, it's a real reminder that this happened within our, you know, this happened within our lifetime. It just wasn't that long ago. And here's another picture of the killing fields. And what's kind of interesting about this place is that we didn't see butterflies in Cambodia, but in the killing fields, it's just full of butterflies, which is, I don't know, that, you know, it's life coming out of death. And at the killing fields, there's a Buddhist temple there with a tower of skulls, and this tower goes way, way up. There's just thousands of human skulls in there that they have. So as I said, the religion in Cambodia is mostly Buddhist and animist, which means, you know, spirits that that are attached to nature and stuff. There are, you know, for most Cambodians, it's just their national religion. And so although Christianity has been present there for a long time, it hasn't made great inroads. And for a while, it was illegal to proselytize there. To be a Christian or to speak about Christianity. It's not so much anymore. And so there's a lot of young churches. Their national spirit or national demon is the cobra. And the cobra is everywhere in all their architecture, in their temples, in their staircases. Everything is about the cobra. This is a bottle of snake wine, and you can see it's a cobra. It's an actual cobra with a scorpion in its mouth, and this is supposed to be some sort of cure-all, but anyway, so cobra's pretty powerful. So before these guys get up and kind of tell their stories, I just want to express how overwhelmed we are with your support of this trip, and many of you gave tremendous, generous financial support and your emotional support, your prayer support. There's some stuff to look at on the back table there, and among them is this book called The Peoples of Cambodia, and there's certainly not enough to go around, but for those, you know, and so who we're hoping ends up with them are people who donated money, who A, donated money, B, who have a heart to pray for Cambodia, or C, if you think you might be interested in going to Cambodia next year, the invitation is open. So if you fall into one of those categories. And if we run out, we can probably score a few more of these. So you're welcome to them. So whoever wants to get up and talk next.
Okay. Hi. Thank you so much for supporting us. I'm going to talk a little bit about the orphanage. When I was preparing to go, going to an orphanage was high on my priority list, but we were told that we had to be flexible because things fall through and you don't always get to do what you want to do. And the reason I really wanted to go to an orphanage is because my mom and her twin sister were raised in an orphanage. They were never adopted. They lived there from the time that they were born until they were 18. And their parents were alive. They were just dropped off there. It was hard times in 1929. And so I've always felt that I really would like to go and do something. And I had no clue what that would be. When we got there, the second day, we were told that the trip to the orphanage had been canceled. And I talked to Clarissa Dobson, who was our missionary contact there, who is an amazing person. And somehow, miraculously, by the next day, she rearranged things, and we did get to go. And the first thing, I didn't know until the next, until that morning that we were going, and Pastor Bob came, said, came knocked on the door and said, "We're going to the orphanage. Come on, we're going shopping." So the picture with the Miss Me in the grocery cart, that was at the grocery store. And it was formula to take to the orphanage. And before we ever got to the orphanage, I was in the store crying, just shopping. I was crying. And so we got there, and a lot of the children that were there, a lot of the kids were gone to school. So we got there, and there was the special needs children and the babies. And we still didn't, you know, we were just kind of walking around touring. We went in and we took the food that we brought to the kitchen, and there was a picture there with us, and all the food that was laying there was stuff that we had bought with donations from here and from Sterling, from Abundant Life. And they were really blessed and happy that we had brought this food to them. And then we walked around and saw the kids and just kind of just loved them, touched them, held them. We found out that things had really improved from last year. Last year they went, and because a lot of their belief is karma, and they just think that, you know, these kids deserve what they get. So through Larissa, she had worked with them and the caregivers there, and was teaching them, you know, you need to hug these kids, you need to pick them up, you need to, you know, care for them. And so the conditions were better. The facility had changed. It was a new facility. And just the general care was better. Jay and I had a chance to go and kind of into a corner and pray, and it just, that was probably the most, you know, that's the thing that impacted me the most, I think, from the trip. One thing was when we decided to go, I have suffered from anxiety my whole entire life, and I guess I must have been healed with that, because here I am up in front of all of you, and usually my heart would be just racing, and I said, "Oh, can I be a clown? I want to," because then my face would be painted, and I didn't have to be myself, and I could be a mime, and I wouldn't have to talk. And somehow that changed, and I wasn't always a clown while I was there. And I was told to take a book pictures because they would be really interested in knowing about our family and about Alaska. And this little book ended up opening a lot of doors for me. I got to talk to a lot of people, teachers that were interested, that English teachers, and children. The picture of me that they showed, that Vicki showed, was I started out with two little kids. They were looking at a poster on the wall of fish, and I have a picture in this book of Melissa with a king salmon. And so I went over to show these two little boys this picture of a king salmon, and I looked up, and I was like surrounded with all these kids that were so interested in us, and that was really cool too. Anyway, it was fun. Thank you.
God did so much with my wife there. She's a different person from the time that we knew we were going. She has blossomed. God has done amazing things with my wife, to my wife. It's very cool. When we got up to Siem Reap, the first day that we went out, we went to a village that was north of the city we're at, and it was a Mission of Mercy church, and we arrived there, and they start with a song service just like we do, and I was totally blown away by the 110% that these people give to the Lord when they worship. They were amazing in their openness, and how you could just tell. I mean, I was sitting at the back of the room. I couldn't see their faces, but I could see just by their postures and by the joy in their voices that they were there for the Lord, all of them. And the thing that struck me the most about that experience and every experience I had in every church in Cambodia was the fact that, you know, we have a tendency to think that God is ours. And nothing could be further from the truth. God belongs to the human race. Every single race, color, creed, we all are God's children. And that hit me with a force that I didn't think it ever could. I was raised in a very prejudiced environment, and none of that exists in my heart anymore at all. And the next day in the same province, you saw the picture of me playing music there with those two young people. The young man was Tung Sang Huat was his name, and the young lady, her name is Savari. And the last night, you saw the picture of our last service there. That was a Sunday evening. And I didn't realize that both the young man and Savari were both part of that church, that they were there at that service. And at the end of the service, which was I could talk for an hour about that, but at the end of that service, a young lady came up to me and she said, "I want you to have this." And of course, you know, I'd only met Savari one time before, so I didn't really recognize her, but it was Savari, and she gave me this book. She came up to me at that service, at the end of the service. She said, "It was so nice that you were here. I'm glad to see you, la, la, la." So we had to leave. It was like at 9 o'clock, they shut the gate, and you have to be out of there, and that's, you know, the way they do things. So we all hurried down the trail and through the rice paddies and out to the van. And I was just starting to get in the van, and that young lady ran up to me, and she said, "Mr. J, I want you to have this." And it was just a book of postcards. And I didn't realize it was Sabri. And she said, "I will remember you, and I will pray for you. And I want you to pray for me because I have exam this year. And for my future, I want to doctor." At the end of their high school, their 12th year, in our terms, they take an exam there. And that exam is extremely important to every young person in Cambodia because it determines whether or not they can continue on with their schooling, whether they can go to a regular college, or whether they can go to university. And university is the goal, because especially for Sabri. I thanked her for the book, and I got in the van, and I didn't read that until after we had started pouring away. And So, you know, I mean, it was extremely emotional because those two young people, I sang with them for like an hour. Just sat there, played my guitar, and went through the book that we took with all our PBS songs. And we just those two children and I just really bonded. So the next day we get back to the hotel room, and I'm looking at the cards, and she had written another note on the back of one of them. Thank God for this time that I can meet you and your team. I think this is, it says plans God, but I think this is God's plan. God bless you. This mission trip was so amazing. It's life-changing. If you have never been on a mission trip and experienced what God can do through you and for other people, I encourage you at some point to get out of your comfort zone and to go meet another people on God's terms. It's the most amazing experience you'll ever have. And I am so thankful to all of you that supported us, all your prayers. If I got a phone call from Cambodia today, I'd be on a plane tonight. I absolutely fell in love with the Cambodian people. They are beautiful, warm-hearted. Through all the trials and genocide and poverty and horrible living conditions that they deal with, the Cambodian people have a joy in that heart that I don't think any of us will ever achieve. It's amazing to see how joyful these people are. And I know, you know, we saw them in a setting when the Lord was present, and I'm sure there's a lot of suffering and things that we don't see. But, my goodness, the Cambodian people are just beautiful.
Yeah, what he said. And I would like to thank all you people that gave us monetary support and made it possible for us to go. And for all the people that prayed, especially my friends Annika and Noah, we felt God's prayer protection there. There were times in the trip when, a couple times, Miss Vicki called us together to pray. That we, even doing all these things running here and there in ministry, was a lot of us were sick, and there was, you know, a spiritual battle going on. But I would like to echo what Jay said about going on a mission trip. I certainly was never raised in a church, and I had a pretty poor attitude towards mission. I remember reading in the book Hawaii when the missionaries brought the society there, you know, they brought the missionary position, and the Polynesians laughed at them. That was kind of my anyway. But this was a life changing trip for me. I was more on the outside of the you know, the skits and the speaking. I was on the edge of praying. That's what I do a lot. That's what I did here when I was here for 10 years in this congregation. But so at that time, God dealt with things that were ready to be personal things, deep healing that I needed in my life. But, what a relief. I know I had a torture center where people were tortured until they would confess to someone. So then they could be taken to the killing field and killed. They were tortured for being human. But Satan didn't want, you know, they weren't allowed to show emotion. They weren't allowed to. So just where they, you know, the first section where they were chained to their bed to be tortured, I just, I had a meltdown. Feeling what forgiveness really is, to be able to forgive, and to be able to understand that we all are capable of that, can use that, and to think what I if I would have been there at that time, if I would have pulled through that, I was pretty gung-ho, man, I remember that. But it was I'm not explaining it, but it was a major feeling. And at some of the churches, they said they were so thankful for us for being there. We were so thankful. One of the pastors in the congregation said, well, we just thank you so much. Now, we don't have anything to give you for a gift, but we can pray. And the whole congregation started praying. Oh, my. Just the spirit. I can still get chills. Just, you know, the people in their language just praying for us. And to feel the Spirit of God through them and through us. And so in Cambodia, the economy is so poor that a dollar goes a long way. That it doesn't take much to make a difference in many people. You know, one person can make a difference. That's my takeaway. I don't know if I'll ever go back to Cambodia. I would like to. I fell in love with the people also, but I think that right here that I can pray for our community, right, this Kenai Peninsula, that there are things that need to be changed here, and that the time has come. Now that I'm in my earliest 60s, I think that there is time that I can actually make some changes before I die. Amen.
All right, thank you. We're a little bit past time here, so we'll let you go. And there's a wonderful potluck over there. And if you have questions, come and talk to us, or if you're interested in going, please come and talk to us. Yeah, Paul, do you?
Oh, these are okay. Yes, these are. I'm not brave enough to take my coat off because this is a wispy little shirt, but these are all Cambodian silk. They make silk there. It's cool. You go along in the countryside, and they have these bamboo houses up on stilts, and underneath they'll have these silk looms, and they're making these things, these pashmina scarves, which cost a couple bucks there, and they will cost you $80 if you get one in the store here. You know, they make these all by hand and stuff. So, and some of Karen's silk scarves back there. So, yeah, these are Cambodian silk. So feel free to ask us questions, and
yeah.
Bless the food, she says.
Thank you, Lord God, for this meal, and prepared with love and eaten with love and with a sense of community here. Bless our conversation. Thank you for your intervention in our lives every day, and for your spirit and your presence here in this service. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.